Hi.
Hi.
Is Grey home?
You wouldn't imagine the TV show Grey's Anatomy would appear in this series.
Death!
But it does.
Is the guy in the pajamas your boyfriend? Because if so, then hot.
Right.
As does the case of another fraudster.
Elizabeth Holmes left court a convicted felon.
The US blood test con woman, Elizabeth Holmes.
Late Monday, a jury found her guilty of four fraud-related counts for conning some of her investors into believing her...
In this, our sixth and final episode, with new information and listeners' tips, we get up to date with the story of Sam Cooks and fill in some of the gaps in her timeline. We can't tell you for definite why she does what she does, but we can tell you how. I'm Justine Stafford. From RTE Documentary on One, this is The Real Carrie Jade. Episode 6. I'm Sadie Harris. Throughout this series, we've been asking people to contact us on the email address documentaries@rte.ie. One of those who contacted us made us aware that in late 2022, as part of their work in a state agency, they were approached by a woman who said her name was Carrie Jade Williams. She said that she was being evicted from her rented accommodation. She said that she was disabled and was requesting special housing. This is what our contact wrote.
She said she was given notice to leave because her landlord was not happy that she had so much equipment in the house attached to her disability.
We voiced up their words.
She also stated that the property was unsuitable for her needs as she couldn't navigate stairs due to a terminal neurological condition and spent her days upstairs in one room with just a bed and microwave to heat food. She stated that this terminal illness meant that she had only a couple years left to live. When staff queried the nature of her disability and requested documentation, she became irate on the phone and expressed horror that they would question a disabled person with a terminal illness at all. She was provisionally offered emergency hostel accommodation subject to documentation being provided. But once she was notified of this, she insisted that she be put up in a hotel that she was staying in, as she stated that she had been evicted at that stage, which was a few days on from her initial contact.
Despite the fact that this Carrie Jade made the staff feel dreadful for asking about her terminal illness, they put their process to find accommodation in train while they waited on actual medical reports to support her diagnosis. These never arrived. Then our contact wrote, Carrie Jade shot herself in the foot by relentlessly emailing the office several times in one day.
Because of this, the staff became suspicious and Googled her and saw who she really is. Staff were really surprised that someone would lie about a disability in the way Samantha did. If someone tells you they've only a few years to live, you don't think to disbelieve them, as you think no one would be unwell enough to make up such a story.
As we know, Sam does make up such stories. The reason she was looking for accommodation from that official was because, at that time, she was getting some unwelcome attention online, particularly from a popular TikToker named Maz.
Stop what you're doing. You need to hear about this. This is important.
Maz, you'll recall, had told her followers on TikTok about this video posted by an unfortunate Airbnb host who was being sued by a couple of guests who didn't like the fact that she's disabled.
I can't believe that we have got to the point where we are having to defend somebody for just being in the same room as someone else and because they're disabled.
However, a few days later, Maz put up a very different video about the Airbnb story with a revelation for her followers.
This here.
She had a photo of Sam.
This is the lady from the disability videos with the Airbnb, okay? That's not her name that she's been telling everybody. That's not the name that she's been telling the people that have messaged me.
Maz told us that when people DM'd her, she decided to try to find out about Sam.
I spent 3 days researching so much about her. Like, I found out that she'd had previous businesses registered in the past and she had been tagged on Facebook in certain places and things like this. So I knew with a gut feeling that she didn't have Huntington's, but I didn't have proof of that, so I couldn't say. So I kind of just said, well, I don't know if she's got Huntington's or not.
I don't know if she's got Huntington's disease and I don't know if this happened to her, but what I do know is that I've had a lot of people messaging me, telling me that they've known her by different names. I've seen it on her posts. She's turned her comments off because there was an argument in her posts about her pretending to be other people.
But Maz's followers didn't believe her. This new information about the Airbnb woman.
I was trolled to the highest level. They were telling me to go and kill myself. They were sending me death threats.
Back in Kenmare, County Kerry, Sam's neighbour Chloe was watching all of this online. Commenters jumping to Carrie Jade's defence.
People were really like upset and sticking up for her and stuff. And then, lo and behold, one woman from Cork that knows her as Rebecca left a comment and said, "Oh, hey, Rebecca, are you not ever coming back to Cork? Like, we remember you," kind of thing. And she deleted that comment. She deleted the other comment.
Maz thought the poor Airbnb woman should have a right of reply to rebut the allegations made about her.
And I thought, right, the only way I'm going to be able to contact her is by commenting on one of her videos, asking her to contact me. So I wrote on her post, "Hi, Samantha, please, can you contact me? I need to talk to you about something." Because I was going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say, "By the way, I've been sent this." She deleted my comment within 10 seconds. And I was like, that's weird. And I was like, So with that, straight underneath, three other people wrote, "Hang on a minute, I thought your name was Carrie." Somebody else wrote, "No, I thought your name was Rebecca. No, I thought your name was Lucy." And this was the way it went. And I was like, whoa, this is really weird. And next thing I know, and this all happened within the space of 2 minutes, comments were turned off. That for me was the final confirmation that I was right and what I'd been sent was right.
And in the meantime, she was selling sensory room equipment. So she was designing sensory rooms with, again, mostly single mothers with like children who are on the spectrum. So they were paying her money, deposits.
One of those who paid a deposit was Chrissy. She thought she was buying 3D printed equipment for her autistic son at knockdown prices. Now, seeing the revelations about Sam online, Chrissy realised she'd been scammed.
I think I was a bit gutted and I was a bit like, well, this would have been amazing for us. And it wasn't even so much about the money, because it was more like this feeling of, like, I felt like I'd kind of like built like a really good bond with her. Like, I'd spoke to her on Zoom. I told her all about my children's like lives. And it felt like, why would you do that? And I was just a bit like, I don't understand why she would do that to anyone.
Was there a bit of a boy me as well?
I kind of blame myself. I went down the line, well, you're very gullible and stupid, Chrissy, because I was a bit like, well, you should have looked into 3D printing, which I didn't. I'd never looked into 3D printing. I didn't know anything about 3D printing.
Fortunately, Chrissy was able to get her money back from her bank.
My name is Carrie Jade Williams.
Meanwhile, Sam hit back.
And I am writing this on the advice of my legal team.
In this written statement on her sensory items webpage, she threatened legal action and claimed that the person everyone was talking about was a sister she had who has mental health problems.
I am an entirely separate individual to my sister whose mental health past has been dragged into my own as an attempt to discredit my advocacy work.
She doesn't have a sister.
It is illegal and defamation to attempt to suggest that my sister's past is mine, when I am an entirely different individual. Legal steps have already been undertaken to stop this illegal defamation.
Not true. No legal steps were ever taken.
I am an entirely separate individual, and appalled that internet trolls have attempted to discredit my advocacy by bringing my sister's past and suggesting I am she.
The statement goes on with the same mix of legal threats and requests for sympathy for the fantasy sister.
We ask for peace and quiet during this devastating time, for me to mind my sister and take the legal steps to protect my reputation as per the law.
At the same time she was threatening legal action to the online community, her Kenmare neighbour, Chloe, believes that Sam decided to intervene in a huge legal case in the US.
Carrie inserted herself into the Elizabeth Holmes case.
Elizabeth Holmes, once celebrated as the youngest self-made female billionaire in the world, left court a convicted felon.
Like Sam, Elizabeth Holmes is a fraudster. although on a much, much larger scale.
For conning some of her investors into believing her blood testing startup Theranos could perform hundreds of diagnostic tests for everything from cancer to HIV to pregnancy.
In late 2022, the judge in the Elizabeth Holmes case received a letter from an Irish woman who signed herself as Ms. Williams and said that she was a 34-year-old suffering from a degenerative neurological condition. Sam was 34 at the time and using the name Carrie Jade Williams. This is what the letter said.
I do not personally know Elizabeth. I have, of course, seen the media destroy her reputation. But as someone who has a neurological illness with no hope of a cure, I need people like Elizabeth to continue to dare to innovate. She dared to dream, and people like me who have illnesses that will never make anyone a profit. We need to ensure that those who try and fail do not risk criminal charges.
The letter was picked up by the Wall Street Journal and reported on under the headline, Sick Woman Who Never Met Elizabeth Holmes Asks Judge to Be Lenient.
If you send Elizabeth to jail, you're sending every young person with a terminal illness like me with her.
If you listen to Elizabeth Holmes, you can hear why Sam was attracted to her as a personality.
The youngest billionaire in the world.
You know, it's not what matters. What matters is how well we do in trying to make people's lives better.
It's the voice that does it, isn't it? That delivery is just so believable.
First they think you're crazy, then they fight you, and then all of a sudden you change the world.
Just like Sam.
I started my own business in my third year at university.
What was the business? Tell me about this.
Oh, so I specialised in water testing and water analysis. You have one prod that goes in the water and it gives you up to 1,800 chemical components. And back then it was like seven.
The letter from Ms. Williams to the judge in the Elizabeth Holmes case went on.
Elizabeth represents the risk the tech world takes when it tries to find cures for people like me. I'm unlikely to see 35. Punishing Elizabeth Holmes also punishes people like me, who desperately want innovation to continue, who want people to keep dreaming and trying and daring. Don't turn her mistakes into devastation for people who are terminally ill.
Back on this side of the Atlantic, Carrie Jade Williams had been outed online as Sam Cooks and was lying low in the rented house in Kenmare. In early December 2022, our producer Ronan called to the house.
So I've arrived in Kenmare, County Kerry. The last bit of information I've had about Carrie, and it's not from her because she's not answering any of my emails or WhatsApps or phone calls, is that she has been running an Airbnb in a housing estate just outside the town. I've managed to find the housing estate, and her house is here with a blue door. And there's nobody in. I've talked to some of the neighbours, and the neighbours say they've noticed a lot of activity.
There's stuff outside.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Her neighbour, Chloe, said that Sam had just moved out. Chloe knows Sam's landlord, so when she saw all the posts online about Sam, she rang him to warn him.
I was like, oh, I think you need to know about Carrie, Jade. Because he thought as well, poor woman has Huntington's, she's in hospital. And he was like, geez, she told me her sister was going to pay the rent money to me and sorry that it was late. And I was like, Tim, she doesn't have a sister.
When Tim, the landlord, called to the house, he was presented with a similar scene to the landlady who rented to Sam in Carrisavine.
It's not alone that she left the house in a desperate state, as after costing me $2,500 to paint it, another $500 or $600 on paint.
It's February 2023. Tim is in his motorbike workshop. He's not getting a lot of work done because he's on the phone to a mediator from the Residential Tenancies Board. This is the government agency tasked with solving disputes between landlords and tenants.
She paid rent in September. She never paid October or November, so that's 3,000.
Despite the fact that she was in arrears with her rent and the house was damaged, it's Sam who has taken the case. It's against Tim, which he now has to answer.
And I had two men with me, at least 3 or 4 days cleaning the place up. I'd say I'm down the guts of €10,000 between painting, rent arrears and cleaning up.
There was also furniture missing from the house.
Two leather armchairs, a leather couch, coffee table. And she left meat and food and everything.
Then Tim told us about another side to Sam's scam drama. The set. The staging. In his house, she has set up a special room to complement her dramatic persona. You recall how the neighbours saw her always out washing the windows and waiting for an opportunity to join in their conversations? However, when her Airbnb guests arrived, they were presented with a very different Carrie Jade. A chronically disabled, fictional character.
Oh, there was a room with a bed rail in it, with a Zimmer frame, with a microwave and some microwave dinners upstairs in a bedroom, and then there was her real bedroom. So if someone, I'd say, knocked on the door, she'd hobble, pretend to hobble back to the room where she was kind of couldn't get out of bed. So it was a real setup scene. It was like a scene out of a movie. And there was another Zimmer frame in the hallway.
But did the neighbours see her on the Zimmer frame?
Never. Never. But you'll come back to me one way or the other, will you?
Tim has finished talking to the tenancies board mediator, who's gone off to hear Sam's side of the story, and Tim has to wait. Eventually...
All right, come on, thanks.
Tim hears back from the mediator.
They can't get in contact with her. He's tried and tried and tried, and in fairness, it's very frustrating for him as well, I'd say. So it has to go to a tribunal.
For you to get your money back?
Yeah.
Are you going to do that?
I will, yeah.
Will you?
I will try and follow through. But I said, what are the chances, Tim? And he says, if she's giving fake identities and stuff like that, I'd say very, very slim.
Fake identities. Sam's trademark. You don't need to have a verified identity when dealing with the Residential Tenancies Board mediation services. You'll remember that when Sam left the apartment in Carrasaveen in a state, she took the landlady to a mediator with the Residential Tenancies Board. And, as a result of that mediation, the landlady ended up giving Sam €450. Sam did this using her fake name, Jade Williams. What about other state agencies? We checked with county councils in the various places Sam has lived in Ireland. And if she was to get services from them, she would have to use a verified ID, like a passport. The same with the Department of Social Protection, who makes social welfare payments. Among documents Sam left behind in Tim's house was a letter from the Department of Social Protection, and it was addressed to Samantha Cooks. So, along with all her aliases, she was also using her real identity for at least some dealing with the state. Interestingly, among the other letters left behind was one from a bank addressed to an Eliza Buden, another fake identity, it seems. And one from a hospital in Kerry, addressed to a Jade Williams Cook. The hospital one is a notable one because it's a final demand for a bill there. Does that answer the question, where did Sam go after she left Tim's house in Kenmare? Had she checked into a local hospital? Meanwhile, the Residential Tenancies Board found in the landlord's favour and awarded Tim €4,200. But they awarded it against Jade Williams, who they can't find, because of course, she doesn't exist. And so Tim, the landlord, won't get a penny from Sam Cooks, the real woman who did real damage to his real house. We asked the Tenancies Board if they intend to revisit their policy.
This is the policy where they allow parties to take cases without their identity being verified.
Our producer, Ronan.
The Tenancies Board told us that they don't check identities at the mediation stage for a very important reason. That's so as not to disadvantage a complainant who can't verify the identity of the other party. So, for example, if a tenant can't get their landlord's true identity, they can still commence a case. The Tenancies Board said that this policy is drawn from the relevant Irish housing legislation that governs them. We asked the governing department, Housing, if they agree with this policy, and they said that it's up to the Tenancies Board to apply the law as they see fit.
Staying in Kerry, One of the local authorities we checked with around Ireland was Kerry County Council. And they've just come back to us with a bit of news. They told us, up until very recently, Sam has been living in the county. They say, in a statement, that Kerry County Council is aware of this specific case and has been for some time. They say that they've been alerted by Gardaí that she's been operating in the Kerry area, trying to access local services using an alias. So, that fills in some of the timeline. Sam was in Kerry in 2024, up until very recently. And she was there running an unauthorised Airbnb up to the end of 2022. What about 2023? Was she in Kerry throughout the last year too? Apparently not. According to a report by journalist Mark Tye in the Irish Independent, she was living back in the east of the country, in Selbridge, County Kildare. You might remember in one of our earlier episodes how Sam was operating in the Kildare area years ago when she promised a family that her church would provide them with a house and a car, all of which were fake. She'd been working as an au pair with that family. Not only did Sam return to the same county, but she also went back to the same routine. She got a job as an au pair, inveigling her way into the lives and the home of another unsuspecting Irish family in Kildare. And she involved herself with the local evangelical church. And the fake name she used this time was Sadie Harris. Why did she pick that name? Well, one commenter on one of her TikTok posts thinks she got the idea from the TV hospital drama Grey's Anatomy.
This woman is the reason I went to med school in the first place.
Sadie Harris was a character in season 5.
So Sadie, you postponed your residency to work in a morgue?
Yeah.
She was a doctor who was flaky and unreliable.
Did you cheat your way into the program?
Listen, I'm not book smart. You know that. I learn on my feet.
And eventually, she quit.
Surgery was a bad idea.
No, it was a terrible idea.
It turns out that while Sam is creative in her inventions, some, like the Grey's Anatomy character, are lifted from elsewhere.
I grew up as a kid on protest marches. And
take the story she told us about her mother bringing her on protest marches.
Some children got taken to, you know, SeaWorld in Florida. I got taken to stand outside to, like, protest poor Tillicum the whale.
You know, when that clip from our podcast was played on the RTE radio programme, Liveline, a church minister, William Hayes, recognised it immediately.
SeaWorld in Florida. I got taken to stand outside to, like, protest poor Tillicum the whale.
The really weird bit about that show is that that's actually the plot of a book called The Horizontal Epistle of Andromeda Veil. It's this kind of comedy writer called Adrian Plath who writes that. And some of those lines are straight out of Adrian Plath.
That minister had come across Sam several years ago when she had tried to become involved in his church in Offaly in the Irish Midlands. Last year, when Sam involved herself with the church community in Kildare, she was found out and left. But not before she had inserted herself into the life of one of the women in that church. This woman's experience epitomises the hurt that Sam causes some people. The woman believed that Sam, using the name Sadie Harris, was a friend, a firm friend.
I was really happy to have a friend that was so interested in the friendship.
We voiced up her words.
I had rung my mum and I told her that I finally found a friend that is like my sisters are with me. That they engage in the friendships. And I do have amazing friends. Like she made you feel really important and insignificant at the same time. Or maybe not insignificant, but like not enough. I've gone through a lot personally that she recognized that vulnerability and just honed in on it. One of the things that was like on my heart was to be able to find a relationship and a partner. But she took it and just made me feel like I wasn't worthy of it in the nicest way. So she'd come into church and She had said that she was a self-proclaimed singleton and she's not interested in any relationships. She's not interested in getting married or anything like that. And she then started talking more frequently about this guy that she had as a friend and the time they spent together and what they did and how they joked. And he was bringing her dinners at the Alk Beach. He was apparently cooking for her. I mean, I don't know any guy friend that would cook dinner for me and bring it out to where I was in Dublin City while I was doing outreach for sex workers. Like, that's what she was apparently doing. I mean, talk about perfect guy.
Then, one evening, her pastor called her about Sadie Harris.
And told me that Sadie's a fraud. He just wanted me to be fully aware that she is not who she says she is. Her entire backstory was a complete lie. I felt such a fool. I mean, if we weren't spending time together, we were having phone conversations of like an hour or 2 hours or more, where I was like sharing very real, honest, meaningful conversation. I was constantly, after talking to her, questioning the person I am. This is how she made you feel like so important, but then like totally annihilated at the same time. Like the situation with the new boyfriend. I remember coming away from that, like being really angry. I was angry with God. It's just like, hello, here's somebody who doesn't even want this. And it's just like there for her in a friend that she's known for a really long time. It sounds like something out of a rom-com. And what am I, chopped liver? Like, I want that, like, you know, and don't I deserve that? And who am I to argue with God? Like, you know, I mean, and she made me feel that way enough to have that conversation about that with God and losing faith, which makes you so upset. I'm glad she's out of my life, which I don't know, that probably makes me a really bad Christian, but...
We asked the woman what she now thinks of Sam Cooks.
Do I feel sorry for her, though? I think she's pure evil.
And that's a question we asked Sam's other victims. What do you think of her now?
I feel for her. And I've gone through phases of feeling really, really bad for her. And I would always kind of see the bigger picture in why people are messed up. But this woman has been so calculated in what she's done. She's played the long game with people in taking their Christmas money. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And so then it goes into my head that, okay, it's a mental health issue. And she's just like, and then I feel sorry for her again. But then someone with a mental health issue to be this sort of organized and thought out and conniving. And then, no, I don't feel sorry for her. I actually think she's a nasty piece of work.
It changes day to day. So sometimes, because a few people have said to me, do I feel sorry for her? And every now and then I do. Because imagine living a life where you have no friends, no... Like, she can't have a support system because she doesn't stay in one place long enough to build that. So in that sense, I feel sorry for her. But the other hand, I know there's the question of, is it mental health? It's very manipulative and very calculated, the things she does, which is why I don't think it can all go on mental health.
This is why I say she's a common criminal. She's just a con woman, and she's not even good at it.
Like, I believe now that she's gone into some little old lady's house somewhere, in a farmyard somewhere.
But we still believe she's at it now.
You know, there's no Facebooks or internet or TikTok. It'll be some little old lady that she's gone in to help her now.
I think she's obviously very, very uncomfortable with who she really is. But I think the amount of help that has been offered time and time again, she chooses to remain in this state. She chooses to continue doing this.
That's Lynn MacDonald, who you heard about in an earlier episode, talking about the fake Lapland trip. You'll remember that Lynn's daughter, Daisy, used a breathing machine because of a rare genetic disorder. We're really sorry to tell you that tragically, last January, Daisy died. She was aged 10. As you know, throughout this series, we've received dozens and dozens of tips and observations to our email, documentaries@rte.ie. Among those, there's a woman who says she thinks she was the first person to tip off the police about Sam's activities. Another woman gave us a new alias. She says she remembers Sam running art classes in County Offaly. Then she was Sophia Williamson. Someone else contacted us saying she had met her when she was planning one of her fake weddings. And another tip came through one of our interviewees. This person said they thought they saw Sam getting off a bus in Waterford, in the southeast of Ireland.
Hello, may I help you?
We decided to call a local Christian church to see if she had tried to make contact.
The church is Dunmore East Christian Fellowship, located here very close to Dunmore East in County Waterford. I actually sent out an email to our church as a group email, and I sent it out and said if anybody's been contacted by her to let me know, and I've not heard any response, so I'm not aware that she has been in touch with anyone in our church, but we really appreciate the heads up on it, certainly do, yes.
We're passing these sightings on to another production team because while this is our final episode, it's not the end of the story. This autumn, RTE Television will air a documentary on the Sam Cook story.
In Ireland, these things don't happen here. I mean, you could write a bestseller really based on it.
I didn't see it coming. I didn't see any of this coming. None of us did.
The producer of the TV documentary is Alan Bradley.
Yeah, so I'm over in the UK at the minute, and it's very exciting because we managed to track down the surrogacy couple. So the couple, Samantha, had scammed out of money for a surrogacy that never happened, and we're going to meet them tomorrow. And what's really amazing is they didn't know anything about this. They thought the story ended with their horrible experience. Their whole world's been turned upside down now. They've realised Samantha's gone on to do what she went on to do. As well, we're talking to different experts like psychologists, people who are experts in scams, to sort of understand how we become vulnerable to somebody like Samantha Cooks. How does it happen to us? And how can we spot it in our own lives? I'm really keen to talk to Samantha herself. You know, there's been so much talk around her story. So many other people are telling her story. We'd love to hear from her. So yeah, if she wants to reach out to us, we would be delighted to talk to her.
Watch out for that TV documentary in the autumn of 2024. It'll be on RTE TV and the RTE Player. And the RTE Player is where you can see Grey's Anatomy, you heard an extract of earlier. And the extracts relating to Elizabeth Holmes came from news programmes by CBS, NBC and CNBC. If you've any knowledge of Samantha Cooks, aka Carrie Jade Williams, Sadie Harris, Lucy Fitzwilliams, or Rebecca Fitzgerald, please contact us in confidence by email to documentaries@rte.ie or on any of the RTE Documentary on One social media platforms. The Real Carrie Jade is narrated by myself, Justine Stafford. Music is composed by Fergal O'Connor and performed by Fergal Antonio O'Flaherty. The sound engineer is Ruth Kennington. The series is produced by Ronan Kelly and Liam O'Brien with the team from RTE Documentary on One.